Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Wake Up with Hope as we begin a brand new week. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do on this call today. Lord, you are glorious, and we thank you that we can have a brand new day to wake up to. And your mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. We just love you so much today. And we just thank you for choosing us. We thank you for calling us. We thank you that we can come to the throne of grace and obtain grace in time of need and mercy in time of need. So we love you and praise you as we are on the dawn of a brand new year, stepping into Rosh Hashanah in a week. Prepare our hearts for all that you have in store for us. Bless each one listening today. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to share some thoughts regarding the white garment and why that is so important that we know the symbolic meaning of that white garment. I want to begin by reading a portion of scripture in Malachi 3, beginning at verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner in a purifier of silver and shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Very powerful words this morning from Malachi 3. And we note here that the question is posed, who can abide or who can stand in the day of his coming? Who will be able to stand before him? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. A fuller's soap links with detergent, a soap that you clean your clothes with, that takes the spots and the stains out of to bring that garment to whiteness. And he is appearing as one who will deal with the areas of sin, because sin stains our garment. Our garment is to be a garment of righteousness. Note, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi. Remember, Levi is the tribe of the priests. So the priesthood all came from the tribe of Levi. And what were the garments of the priests? Well, we know that they had beautiful garments. However, on the Day of Atonement, which we will be coming into October 5th of this year, the high priest would take off his beautiful garments and wear his inner garment. And guess what the inner garment was? Pure white linen. That was really the inner garment, or as we say today, our undergarment. So the garment that was closest to his body was pure white. That says volumes. I want to also read a portion of scripture from Revelation 3. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he who has given the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you're alive, but you're dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your work perfect before me. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come as a thief, and you will not know what hour I come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. So let's look at this closely. The church of Sardis boasted in the fact that they were a wealthy church. They had everything, but they had no idea they were dry and dead and missing the Holy Spirit. See, they were successful and famous. I know your works. You've got a name, but you're dead. Wow. Now, we could preach many, many sermons on just that one phrase. You have a name, that you're alive, but you're dead. And apply that to so many churches and so many ministries today. We're boasting in our name and our following, but you're dead. You're dead. You're spiritually dead. You have gone worldly, gone carnal. And the Lord is warning Sardis, you need to get ready, because your works are not perfect before me. You need to repent. Repent, because you are lukewarm. You are not clean before me. You're boasting in a name, but you're dead. You're dry. There's no anointing. The Holy Spirit is not in your church. And you need to be careful, because you're doing the same thing over and over, and you have no idea that I'm going to come as a thief, and you're not going to know when I'm coming. And you're not ready. You're like the virgins with no oil in their lamps. But note what he says. In the midst of this dead church, there are few. God always has a remnant. But note this, that have not defiled their garments. So what God is saying, Sardis, your garments are defiled. You're wearing spots and wrinkles and blemishes of the world. You've got sin in the camp. You're not clean. Your garment's not white. But I have a few names that haven't defiled their garments. They will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. So that means if you don't have on a white garment, you're not worthy to walk with God. They shall walk with me in white. Note that. Those who walk with God, do you remember the scripture about Enoch? And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. Why? Because he walked with God in white. What does that mean? It means he was pure. He was holy. He was undefiled. The world, the stain, the sin wasn't on his garment. It was white. He who overcomes, note this, everybody, Revelation 3:5. It can't get any more clear than this. He who overcomes will be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. You know, as we're going into the 10 days of awe, it is believed that the books of heaven are open. And you think about how many names are really written in the book of life. Well, if you don't have on a white garment, you will be blotted out. It says, if you have a white garment, I won't blot out your name. So if you don't have a white garment, looks like your name's going to be blotted out. So what is God saying? He's telling us the importance of having on the clothing of righteousness and holiness. That's what a white garment represents. righteousness of the saints is linked with the color white. Purity and holiness is linked with the color white. When John in Revelation 1 saw the Lord, he said his hair was as white as wool. Why? Because it's the purity of the Lord, and that purity starts with the head, the mind. If you're going to have a white garment, you've got to have a clean heart and a clean mind. And God wants to get the stains out of our garment, and he has to do so by us going through repentance, getting the sin out, and confessing our sins. So it's like the fuller's soap, where you take your white dress or your white top or your white flax, then you put them in the wash, and you put your laundry detergent because they've been stained. And it needs to get clean. Do you know that the most difficult color to keep clean in your wardrobe is a garment that is white? You wear a white shirt and you go to dinner. You'll come home and there'll be some remnant of that dinner on that white shirt. You walk outside, the wind blows, a speck of dirt. I mean, anything in the atmosphere will attach to that white garment that you're wearing. It stains easily. But you wear a black shirt and you can't see any stains. You wear a black shirt and it doesn't matter how many colors that you have on that shirt from the food that you ate or the dirt that, you know, was blown into your shirt when it was out, you were outside and it was windy, it's not going to be detected because it's black. It hides. Those who live in darkness, they're hiding their sin. But those who live in the light, their sin is exposed. And when we get into the light of God, that's where the sin is exposed. And so wearing a white garment, you're going to see every stain on that garment quite easily. But white, again, it links with purity. It links with holiness. The Bible says that the overcomer will be clothed in white. The overcomer will be clothed in white. Wow. Says it right here. Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes will be clothed in white. So everybody isn't wearing white because everybody's not an overcomer. But that is the high calling. That is the standard. That is what God requires. Now, everybody doesn't need the requirement because people like to walk around with stains in their clothes. But God is saying, I want the stain out. I want you to get every little bit of it out because I want you to be completely clothed in white from head to toe, so that I can know there is no impurity in you. See, it's the pure in heart that will see God. You can't see God if you're not pure. I remember when Grace was so little, I mean, 3-4 years old, and she could pray. She would lay in the bed with me, and we would, you know, be cuddling, and I was getting her ready for bed, and she would start to pray and pray and pray and pray. And in those days, I was going to New Orleans every month, and she would pray that God would bring revival like a fireball. And we would record her prayers. I mean, I'm talking like 30, 40 minutes. I thought to myself, what is going on here? She was pure in heart. She didn't get out in the world of social media, listen to the garbage, watch the TV and movies. She didn't know anything yet. She was a little spirit that just came from heaven, only 3 years old, 4 years old. She wasn't defiled. She didn't have anything in her soul yet to hinder her. She was so pure, and she would pray, and she would talk about Jesus, and she would walk around with, she would hold like a pencil and pretend it was a microphone, and she would preach and say, people repent, the Lord is coming. I mean, it was amazing. If you look at children when they're young, they're so pure. Look at a baby born. It's the most pure thing you've ever seen. This beautiful child out of the womb, pure. That baby doesn't know sin and defilement, though we're born with a sin nature. It's an innocent child. It's the most pure being. But once that child starts to grow up, guess what happens? Here comes the spots, the wrinkles, and blemishes on that white garment. When you dedicated your baby to the Lord, when you dedicated your child, did you put on a black or a blue or a green garment? No, it was white. Why? For purity. So as we grow up from being a babe to a toddler to a youth to adult, you see, we start to pick up things from the world. Sin comes in. Profanity comes in. Evil thoughts come in. And we began to get spots and stains on our garment. And so by the time you become an adult, you've accumulated all of this stuff. And you start out with a pure white garment. You're like, what is wrong with me? Look at this. And a lot of people live with those spots, wrinkles, and blemishes. But we have got to go to the fuller soap. We've got to allow God to purge and purify and get that garment clean. Have you ever had a stain on a garment that was your favorite and it was white, and you have put baking soda and you put all kinds of things, and you're rubbing the fabric to get that stain out? Well, it took some time, didn't it? You see, God has to get the stains out, the sin out, the debris out, the carnality out, and it takes time. And you may rub that stain, but maybe it fades, but it's still there. God wants to get to the root of what is holding us back from being a true overcomer. Why do we still go through that same sin over and over? Why are we still dealing with it? Because the root's still there. And God wants to get it out of our lives. A true overcomer will be clothed in white raiment. I want to ask you a question this morning. What color is a bridal gown? It's white. So if we are the bride of Christ, God is not going to settle for anything less than white. And I remember years ago shopping with my sister for her wedding dress. And she was the first to get married in our family. And when she found that dress, I'm telling you, there was a garment bag over that dress until the day of that wedding. Why? Because she did not want a spot to get on that gown. Because when you walk down that aisle, you're in a white dress for purity. Well, when we are the bride of Christ, we must also wear this white garment. It's the garment of the overcomer. And again, it's the garment that was closer to the body of the priest. That is why he wore that garment on the Day of Atonement. Jesus, when he was transfigured on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Bible says his clothing became exceeding white. Note that. Why? Because he was pure and holy, and it was radiating. The glory was radiating out of him. Those white garments shows what he was on the inside. Revelation 20:11 says that there is a great white throne of judgment. Note that, white throne of judgment. Why is it a white throne? Because God is going to deal with the sin, and he wants the sin out. And all those who are sinning will be judged. It's a white throne because the throne of God is pure and it's holy. Ecclesiastes 9:8. Let your garments always be white and your head lacking no oil. Wow. Don't let your garments be white here and there. Let your garments always be white and your head lacking no oil. That shows when you walk in purity and holiness, the anointing will flow upon your head. Your life will be anointed when your garments are white. You know, Aaron had to put on the garments of the high priest, and then oil had to be poured on his head and soaked that garment. So when your garments are white, the anointing is soaking through your life and you carry the fragrance of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. Note that. Armies of heaven, white and pure, in fine linen. See, fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Because if you were to take the fabric linen and you put a microscope to linen, magnified, you will see tiny crosses. So only those who have gone the way of the cross are worthy to wear white. Nobody's just wearing white linen because, you know, we just put on a garment. You have to go through crucifixion, dying to self, dying out to the world, dying out to the carnal nature, dying out to sin. Then you can wear the white garment. Revelation 7:9. After this, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and people and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. Every time I read this verse, I just get so touched because I think about a great multitude that no one can number, from every nation, tribe, people, language, from all over the world, standing before the throne and before the Lamb of God, the one who we gave our lives to serve. And that company are clothed in white robes. Can you even for a moment fathom that day, to see multitudes upon multitudes, all in white, standing before God's throne, worshiping him? Revelation 4:4, around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. Years ago, I had a dream, and the Lord showed me. It was so vivid. A golden key opened this door, opened the lock, and I remember the Lord was standing next to me, and he opened this door, and I saw a sea of people. When I say a sea of people, you could number it. It was an innumerable company. And all of them were worshiping, and they were on their face praying, and every single one of them had on a white robe. It was a sea of white. And they were worshiping the Lord. And I remember I looked closely at one man who was closest to where I was standing. And I saw in his forehead a white cross engraved in his forehead. It was a cross, a little tiny cross, and it was white and it was glowing out of him, coming from his head. And everyone had on a white robe, a white garment. And I just want to say to you this morning that if your garment is not white and you're still carrying around stains and spots, it's time to get it out. God will not stand for anything less. I look at my own life and I have to survey, as we're coming into the 10 days of awe, where am I missing it? Is there something in me that I don't see yet? Oh, Lord, turn on the light and let me see it. What areas do you repent of every day? What is it that has stained your garment? We will not be overcomers with soiled garments. The overcomer is dressed in white. And God is going to have to do some scrubbing. And it may be painful at times. But God will not settle for anything less than purity and holiness. And your garments have to be white because it's the righteousness of the saints. And righteousness is right standing with God. And only those who are in right standing with God are overcomers. But I have a few, he says, in a defiled world, in a world gone mad, in a world of compromise, a world of sin. I got a few, only a few. Look at the days of Elijah. When Israel was worshiping Baal, mixing Baal and Jehovah worship, it's like we are today. The church is worshiping Baal and Jehovah. Nobody wants to talk about that, but that's exactly why we're where we are right now. We're worshiping the things of the world. And we're worshiping God. That is why there is mixture. There was mixture in Israel in the days of Elijah. There's mixture today. And we have brought in the sound of the world. We have brought in the entertainment of the world. We have brought in messages of the world. And we are stained. Our garments are not white. And we have the world all over us. Do you know that if you wear a white garment and you know there's a stain on it, there are ways you can hide it. You can put a jacket over it. You can tuck it in your pants. We are wearing stains. stained garments and we're hiding them, hiding the stains. And God is exposing the stains. When we go into the 10 days of awe, it's a time to expose sin. Can't hide it anymore. We try to hide it. And God says, no, expose it. I want it out. I want it out completely. I don't even care if that stain is faded. I can still see it. I want it out until it's completely white. I want your garment white. I want your life right with me. I want you to be holy and pure. And what is causing you to sin has to come out. So it's time for all of us to look closely, get the magnifying glass out, and survey our own heart and find out where are we missing him in our lives. Where are we missing the mark? Because the sin is to miss the mark. Because if you miss the mark, you're missing God. Do you know how many people email me and they say, pray for me. I don't have hunger anymore. Pray for me. I don't have a desire anymore for God. I can't pray that for you. Now, I can pray generally that the Lord will draw you. But at the end of the day, people that are hungry are people that are empty. If I don't eat all day, by dinner time, I'm going to be hungry because my stomach is empty. But if I'm filled and I'm snacking all day, I'm not going to be hungry at dinner time. You see, we are snacking on the world. That's why we're not hungry for God. And it breaks his heart because we don't read our Bible. Do you know how many Christians don't know their Bible? They don't read their Bible. They don't know what's hidden in the Word. They're listening to a preacher, and they want that preacher to break down the Word because they can't get in the Word themselves. You see, you can't get a clean garment if you're not in the Bible. You got to get in the Word. You got to listen to what he's saying. You got to read. You got to study. You got to spend time. Because the Word is a mirror. You'll see yourself and God will convict you and you will deal with that sin. We've got to wake up. The hour is late. He will come suddenly. You know, if you look at Revelation 3 and you look at Malachi 3, it's interesting. Because he's saying that I'm going to come as a thief, and you're not going to know when I'm going to come. That's what he says in Revelation 3. In Malachi 3, he says, the Lord whom you seek shall come suddenly. It's the same thing. He's coming suddenly. Who's going to stand? Only those who have a garment that is white. Fine linen, the righteousness of the saints. Revelation 19:8. I mean, what a beautiful portion of scripture. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear, for fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. See, that's the bride of Christ. So I want to just challenge you this morning to get alone with the Lord and start to prepare your heart this week, because we're coming into a time of introspection, soul searching, where God wants to get the sin out, get the areas that we're missing the mark out of us, so we can truly be holy and righteous people, a holy priesthood, a holy nation, wearing the garments of righteousness, which is right standing with God. That's what the white garment is all about. And we need to prepare our hearts and let God cleanse us again. Purge me, purify me. It's the pure in heart that will see God. And the reason we're not seeing God is because we're not pure. Purity and holiness. That's what God is looking for. And I can tell you today that the enemy is working overtime to keep us impure, to keep us defiled, to keep us insensitive to the things of God, to keep us carnal. And we are going to have to be like the salmon swimming upstream, where we resist the enemy and we get in front of God and we clothe ourselves with holiness. We worship, we pray, we get in his presence, we read his word, we spend alone time with him. God is doing a new thing. He is raising up a remnant. He's always had a remnant, but this is the generation now. This is the time frame we're living in, and we're all candidates to be the remnant. But nobody's going to make the company if you've got soiled garments. And I want you to pay attention to what I'm going to say here, because this is important as we're closing out today. For most Christians, it's not the big sins. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the attitude. It's the insensitivity. It's the little impatience. It's the attitude of judging others without judging yourself. It's the attitude of always looking to fault find. It's the complaining. It's the gossiping. It's the greed. It's the pride. You know, those are the things that we don't look on the scale as being a big thing, because, oh, it's not murder. It's not adultery. It's not stealing. But it's a spot and a stain in your garment nonetheless. And oftentimes, it's the smaller spots that are hardest to get out. Remember that. God wants us to come to him and lay it all on the table and say, Lord, I know this is an area I have not conquered, and I don't like it, but it has a hold on me, and I want it. I want this, God. I want this spot in my garment to be removed. I can't do it in my own strength. I need the help of the Holy Spirit to get to the root of this problem and the root of this sin, and I want it out once and for all. And that's where we're at right now. We are called to be the bride of Christ. What kind of bride walks down an altar with a bunch of stains all over her garment? You know what happens? That bride protects that garment, like my sister did in that garment bag until her wedding day. We are to protect the garment. We've got to protect the anointing. You've got to protect the anointing on your life. I remember years ago when I heard a message on, you've got to protect the anointing, and I thought that is so true, because the world will come and steal your anointing, steal your garment. Remember what Ecclesiastes says. In fact, let me read that verse again before we close this morning. Ecclesiastes 9:8. Let your garments always be white, and let your head lack no oil. The world will come to steal the oil, the anointing, so your garment will be soiled. And I will tell you, the key to keeping your garment white is to keep the anointing on your life. And the minute the anointing starts to leave, you start to get soiled. So we've got to protect the anointing. We've got to protect the presence of God on our lives. There are certain places you cannot go. There are certain words you cannot say. There are certain thoughts you cannot think. It's going to kill the anointing. There are certain people you can't associate with because they're going to steal the anointing from your life and drain you. We've got to protect the anointing. You know, my father walked alone, and people didn't really understand my dad. But he protected the anointing. And my dad didn't just talk because he had nothing to say. If he talked, he had some substance behind him because he lived in God's presence and he protected his garment and he didn't want it defiled. I remember one day we're watching television and somebody said some profane thing and he said, turn the TV off now. He didn't want to listen anymore because he knew that if he continually listened to profanity, it would get into his garment. He knew that if he saw something that was impure and he kept looking at it, it would get into his garment. You see, we've got to be careful. And this is the reason why we're dealing with the problems we're dealing with, because we have not shut out and protected ourselves from the world, and we're going to have to. It's a consecration. It's a fine, very fine line that we have to walk. The road is very narrow for the overcomer. But Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him. We've got to walk with God and walk in white. Those who walk with God are a holy priesthood, a separated people, a consecrated man or woman of God, in which the desires for the world have died. You know, it's a simple phrase, and I've said it over and over again, but as simple as it is, it has profound meaning. What you feed will live, and what you starve will die. What you feed on will grow, and what you starve will die. So if you're feeding on the world, you're feeding on the flesh, you're feeding on television and social media, you're feeding on the wrong conversations, you're feeding on the wrong videos, you're feeding on things of this carnal realm, you will become just like what you're feeding on. You are what you eat. You eat junk food, you get sick because you are what you eat. But if you starve from those things, they don't affect you anymore. If you starve yourself and you stop eating junk, you get healthy. If you stop watching profanity, you won't curse. You stop looking at carnality, you start getting holy. What you starve will die out, but what you feed will grow. That's why every single day you've got to protect your eyes. What are you looking at? You know, the cell phone gets most of your vision. Did you know that? You spend hours looking at a phone, looking at videos, looking at this, looking at pictures, looking at that, texting. But how much FaceTime is in the Word? What you feed will grow, and what you starve will die. The garments that God requires us to wear are white. Again, the most difficult color to stay clean. I mean, just a little bit of, you know, dust in the air, and all of a sudden, your white shirt is stained. So you've got to protect it. And you've got to be looking out for anything that can stain that garment. And you've got to be ready to avoid anything that can stain it. God is speaking to all of us. You know, this is my third close. You know me. I close one time, then I go to round two, then I think I'm going to close again, but guess what? I haven't closed yet. So another verse just came to me that I believe is fitting for my third close. So hopefully we'll close this time. But I want to read such a profound portion of scripture in Revelation chapter 1. You can't read Revelation and not shed some tears. When you think about our Master and who He is and the fact of how He has designed us to walk in white before Him. And this is a moment that John hears the voice of the Lord like the sound of a trumpet. Remember when God came down and Sinai, it sounded like a trumpet blast? Well, now John is on the Isle of Patmos. And note how he words this in verse 9 of Revelation 1. I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation. Note that. No overcomer escapes tribulation. We all have to go through it. I, your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice like a trumpet saying, I am. Who did God say his name was to Moses? What did he say? I am that I am. So here he is now to John. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book, send it to the seven churches. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, those seven golden candlesticks are indicative or mean, of course, the seven churches. That's what they stand for. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, that's Jesus in the midst of the church, was one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girded with a golden girdle around his breast. His head and his hairs were white as wool. There's that color. White as snow. And his eyes as a flame of fire. Those eyes like laser beams that can just look straight through you. His feet unto fine brass as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went forth a sharp two-edged sword. And note this, his countenance was like the sun shining in his strength, meaning his face was so bright I couldn't look at him. The full-on glory. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He's always in the middle, isn't he? He's standing in the midst of the seven churches. He's always in the midst. But what John saw was the glorified Jesus Christ. He walked with him for 3.5 years, and he saw him here, but he saw the glorified Christ clothed in white. It's a white throne. It's a white light. It's a white garment. What a moment that must have been. And every one of us will have a moment with God when our journey has ended. And what will we say about our lives when we stand before our Master? Will he say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Or will we be faithless servants? Will we be clothed in white raiment, pure linen, the righteousness of the saints? Will we be in the company of those with white robes? Or will we be stained with sin because we just couldn't let go of the world? There's a reason why Jesus said, "I have only a few names in Sardis that have not defiled their garments. I have only a few." Many are called. I preached it last week. Few are chosen. Why? Because few choose to go this route. And this is not an easy road. It's hard. It's hard to see your friends and family going one direction and you know you can't go there. You've got to go the lonely road. It's hard to be rejected. It's hard to be misunderstood. I remember years ago when I was interviewed on TBN. It was the biggest interview of my life. Thousands of people all across the world saw it. I received emails for weeks from people for one 15-minute interview. And I remember one of my aunts, she shared this interview. She was so proud of me. She shared it with one of her sons, who's a very wealthy doctor. And she was talking to me, and she said, "I shared your video, but your cousin looked at it, and he said, 'Did she get paid for this? If not, what is she doing? When is she going to get a real job?' That was the last thing he said. You see, to wear a white garment, you're going to be ridiculed and you're going to be rejected. To be an overcomer, people aren't going to understand you. But you've got to continue, because one day you're going to face him. And it's going to be worth all that you went through here. And you've got to protect your garment. You know, I could have gotten very offended, and I could have called him, and I could have told him off, but I never said a word, because the Lord spoke to me. It's the price you pay to walk with me. So you pray for him, and you keep on moving. It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. But you've got to protect your garment by not letting offense get to it. Oh, that's a subject for another time, because the majority of everybody is offended today. People look at them the wrong way, they're offended. We got to get past that. One of my dad's favorite verses says this: "Great peace have they who love thy word, and nothing shall offend them." That's an overcomer in white. They don't have the stain of offense in their garment. But you see, God is calling all of us, because we're all dealing with different things. Everybody has a different stain, and it's time to get them out. So today, the Lord is speaking to us loud and clear. I want you to have a white garment. I want you to be an overcomer. And whatever has been overcoming you, it's time for you to overcome it. And it's time for us to have an encounter with God. When you look at what was going on here, when John fell at his feet as was dead, John was chosen to have that experience and chosen to write the book of Revelation because he was already clothed in white. He walked in white on this earth. He walked in purity and holiness. The fires and trials and tribulation worked through him. And he was worthy. Blessed be his glorious name. Revelation 2:17. To the one who overcomes will I give hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone with a new name written on the stone that no one knows except the one who receives it. There you go. Those who overcome, there are many, many rewards for the overcomer. Hidden manna, a white stone, a new name. Wow. And that is a subject that I can't even touch today. But we're stepping into the year 5783, and it means restitution, reward, and recompense. There are rewards for those who walk in white. There are rewards for those who resist temptation and resist the world. There are rewards for those who will keep their garment pure and clean and unspotted from the world. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you again on Wednesday.